This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Later in this episode, we talk about colleges and universities in the time of COVID. That's up after our news. More than 24 types of animals that are often in close contact with people may be at risk for coronavirus infection, a new study suggests. For the study, the investigators examined how the spike of the protein on SARS-CoV-2 interacts with a protein that it attaches to when it infects people, called the ACE2 protein. The researchers then looked at how well the virus protein could bind to the ACE2 protein in 215 different animals. The researchers predict possible infection of domestic cats, dogs, lions, tigers, and mink, which have had reported cases, as well as ferrets, which have been infected in lab studies. COVID-19 has been the biggest cause of police deaths this year. As essential workers, law enforcement officers have been on duty since the pandemic started, while most civilian staff have worked remotely or, more recently, seen a combination of remote and in-person work. A recent poll by the National Police Foundation shows health and safety is the biggest concern of law enforcement officers who have been on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic since it began 7 months ago. More than 100 law enforcement officers, mainly police, sheriff, and corrections, have died from COVID-19 on the job this year, which is more than from gun violence, car accidents, heart attacks, or other causes, according to the Officer Down Memorial page. The nonprofit agency reported 39 officers died in both April and July, the highest number so far, while the numbers have declined somewhat in August and September. With cases continuing to rise in many states and a vaccine yet to come, Americans should prepare to wear masks and social distance for quite a while. Dr. Anthony Fauci says it's not going to be the way it was with polio and measles, where you get a vaccine, case closed, it's done. He says it's going to be public health measures that linger for months and months. A profound degree of herd immunity won't likely happen until the end of 2021 or beginning of 2022, he says, which is why he predicts public health measures such as face masks and social distancing will continue until then. While colleges and universities are completely changed during this pandemic, with no parties and no classes in person in most places. In an episode of another Radio MD podcast, Healthy Children, our host Melanie Cole talked with Dr. Yolanda Reed Chasiakos about managing a kid in college at this time. She is the Clinical Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine, UCLA.
I seem to be the only parent among my son's friends who kept him home from university for this semester. I gave him 4 weeks so we could see how it would play out, so we could see what would happen. He's miserable. All of his friends went, his girlfriend went, and he's absolutely miserable. But what is a parent to do? I think I made a good decision keeping him just for 4 weeks to see how it plays out. Today we are talking about this with Dr. Yolanda Reed Chasiakos. She's a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA and the director and chief medical chief of staff at the Klotz Student Health Center at California State University, Northridge. Dr. Reed, it's a pleasure to have you on. I just told the listeners everything I told you off air before we began. What is a parent to do right now? It is terrifying for me because I trust my son, but I don't know that I trust the peer pressure, the pressure that is on our colleges and universities. Tell us what's going on and what should we be doing?
Unfortunately, this virus has really put a damper in the hopes and dreams of teens that were looking forward to the college experience. And it has really been terrible for everyone. I think colleges and universities have tried very hard to carve a path that allows students to have a little bit of the social experiences that college is famous for and which helps support the transition from teenage years to adulthood, and independence and a new relationship with family as well as friends. And a lot of that has been stopped basically because of this virus. Without going into details about the virus itself, I will say that it is one of the most transmissible viruses that we've had to deal with, and it's easily transmitted through aerosols and through droplets, especially within 6 feet. And sometimes if someone is singing, shouting, sneezing, or coughing, the aerosols and the droplets can go much farther, as far as 10 feet, for example. So in an attempt to try to limit the spread of this virus, colleges and universities across the country have tried to implement measures that will help keep students safe. Some colleges and universities have opened their doors only to find that students who come and live in dormitories, fraternity or sorority houses, or even off campus packed into apartments, which is not unusual for students who are trying to have both a social experience and save some money, have become places where COVID-19 has spread. And very large numbers of students have ended up, sometime in the hundreds, have ended up being positive for COVID-19. This is a very serious concern, and many of these campuses have had to close, have had to go back to virtual learning, which is essentially online learning, and wait out either a quarantine period or a much longer period until the prevalence of the virus decreases. You've touched on peer pressure, and I'll jump right to the end before coming back to some individual suggestions. The end is that what we have found to be most effective in helping students engage with and comply with the preventive measures is peer pressure. So we can use peer pressure in both negative and positive ways. Many schools are asking students to sign a pledge that they will comply with the preventive measures that are recommended by the CDC and their local county or state health departments. And this peer pressure, this commitment to social responsibility and to keeping themselves and their classmates and community safe, is actually one of the more effective ways for students to help each other. But it isn't either implemented or it doesn't always work. What ends up happening is students may come into a dormitory. They may be in single rooms instead of having roommates. They may be engaging in preventive measures such as screening before coming to campus, checking their temperature to make sure they don't have a fever or any symptoms of COVID-19, limiting their social contacts, including physical distancing. I don't like to call it social distancing, physical distancing of 6 feet or more, and in many areas of the country, wearing face coverings, frequent hand washing for 20 seconds or longer, as well as going ahead and frequent disinfection of commonly touched surfaces can help reduce the transmission. We have found with COVID that unfortunately, even though people can get well, virus shedding can continue for a period of time. How infectious this viral shedding is, we don't know, but we do know that virus can be shedded not only through aerosols and droplets, but also, and I'll get a little bit poopy here, through human waste. And so another source of potential infection are shared bathrooms and toilets and sinks. And so that can also be a source of common contagion. Additionally, indoor locations tend to have a higher risk for transmission of COVID, and indoor dining areas, which are open in some situations, even with physical separation, the face coverings have to be removed for someone to be able to eat or drink, and that can unfortunately increase the risk of transmission of COVID-19. So the risks are there, but we have seen that it's not just the risks we're aware of, but the ones that we're not aware of as college administrators trying to keep students, faculty, and staff healthy and safe. And those are some of the off-campus activities that students have engaged in when they come onto campus. And believe me, we all understand that's what college is about. Yes, it's about studying and learning and doing the best you can and preparing your professional and academic pathway, but it's also about making friends. And it's also about getting together for social events and parties, often with large numbers of people. And because young people may feel that they're immune from some of the risks and some of the negative effects of COVID, they may not be as eager to take the precautions that are necessary to be able to try to prevent COVID transmission, such as the face coverings, the hand washing, and the distancing. And this is a time in which social connections, and those can be physical as well as emotional social connections, tend to be very attractive. And so again, there are a lot of factors that weigh towards engaging in activities that are not necessarily recommended to stay safe from the virus.
You can hear this full episode and more on Healthy Children found on all podcast platforms. This has been Brady OMD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or give us some feedback at COVID-19@radioMD.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.